We'll start with the pre-council meeting. Mr. Manager, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. It is that time of year where we get to hear from the Boone County Community Services Advisory Commission and the Department of Public Health and Human Services as it relates to recommended funding levels for the coming year. So with that, I'll hand it off.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Amy Camp, and I am the chair of the Boone County Community Services Advisory Commission. This commission is charged with making annual funding recommendations to the Columbia City Council and Boone County. Boone County Commission regarding the purchase of social services in our community. The commission's recommendations for fiscal year 2013, along with information regarding the process utilized by the commission in formulating them, are presented to the City Council and County Commission in the form of an annual report. This year's report was sent to the council in advance of this meeting. Tonight, we will provide a brief overview of the social services funding allocation process. We will then outline the issues addressed in the current funding cycle, which include economic opportunity, independent living, and mental health. Finally, we will cover the Commission's FY 2013 recommendations. Our report provides a detailed description of the social service funding allocation process, as well as a link to the City Council's social services funding policy. So I won't spend a lot of time tonight on that process. I would note that this is a purchase of service model. It is not a grant process, and the funding is not intended to support agencies. Rather, the goal is to purchase high-quality services which address priority social issues and affect positive outcomes at the individual and community levels. In order to solicit these services, staff and the Commission issue targeted requests for proposals in staggered three-year cycles by issue area, reflecting the funding priorities identified by the Commission and approved by the City Council and County Commission. These targeted RFPs and contract recommendations are informed by both an independent analysis of the priority issues and an independent evaluation of the organizations from which services are being purchased. Both the analysis and the evaluation are conducted in the third year of the contract cycle. This allows the BCCSAC and staff to assess the capacity of currently contracted organizations as well as the impact of the services purchased on the issue being addressed. This information is then used to develop progressively more informed and targeted RFPs and funding recommendations. The independent evaluation process provides an objective rating of the capacity of each applicant organization in eight areas. A link to the current evaluation report is included in our report. Also included in the report are links to each of the independent analysis reports utilized in this current funding cycle. As part of the analysis process, each issue area is further broken down by sub-issues. Secondary data indicators are included for each sub-issue. Where possible, data for Columbia and Boone County are compared to state and national rates. Also, indicators are compared by race wherever possible because, unfortunately, non-whites tend to be disproportionately affected by the issues that we are addressing. Indicators are prioritized using an objective scoring system. This allows the Commission to further prioritize funding by sub-issue. The analysis also includes an assessment of the current conditions, demographic, social, and economic conditions in the community, an inventory of resources, and a compilation of evidence-based programs and settings. We don't have nearly enough time this evening to cover all of the information from our current analysis reports, so I'll just take a few moments to cover some of the highlights. The poverty rate in Boone County continues to rise steadily. Because the poverty rate in Boone County is somewhat elevated by the student population, the rate of poverty for families with children is a more accurate indicator of poverty in our community. This rate is also rising and is consistent with state and national rates. Also, non-whites continue to be disproportionately affected by poverty. In the area of economic opportunity, multiple indicators were considered, and four primary sub-issues were identified. These include academic achievement, access to childcare, criminal history, and transportation. We'll look at academic achievement as an example. The primary indicator for academic achievement is the rate of non-high school graduates. The data indicate that the Boone County rate of non-high school graduates is lower than the state and national rates. However, within Boone County, non-whites do not finish high school at a much higher rate than whites. The unemployment rate in Boone County continues to be lower than the state and national rate and is declining. But state and national data indicate that African Americans continue to be unemployed at a significantly higher rate than whites. Persons with a criminal history are also unemployed at disproportionately high rates. The issue of independent living is comprised of two subpopulations, seniors and persons with disabilities. While these populations are very distinct, they share many of the same barriers to employment, community involvement, well-being, and transportation, which are the four sub-issues identified for this area. Our findings in the area of independent living were mixed. The bright spot is that Boone County again ranks first in the state in outcomes for seniors, meaning that Boone County seniors are faring well relative to their peers in other counties. We also found that disability is a reliable predictor of poverty, as over 40% of the households in Boone County receiving food stamps included at least one member with a disability. In addition, people with a disability earn 37% less than those without a disability. Finally, transportation is shown to be a vital component of well-being for seniors and persons with disabilities. In the area of mental health, three sub-issues were identified. These are the prevalence of mental health diagnoses, the prevalence of substance abuse, and treatment access. Regarding the prevalence of mental health diagnoses, the rate of emergency room visits is fairly stable. However, the rate of hospitalizations with a mental diagnosis, as well as the rate of suicides, has increased in recent years. Regarding the prevalence of substance abuse, the numbers of emergency room visits and treatment admissions for substance abuse have risen steadily over time. It is worth noting that roughly 50% of substance abuse treatment admissions are primarily for alcohol abuse. In developing its funding recommendations, the Commission factors in public input, which is sought throughout the process. In addition, staff and the Commission take into account current community conditions as they relate to social issues. For example, the Heart of Missouri United Way recently shifted its emphasis to funding mainly children's services. This has resulted in a significant loss of funding for services being addressed in the current funding cycle, such as senior and disability services, as well as mental health and employment services for adults. Based on the evaluation and analysis, its review and rating of the proposals to provide economic opportunity, independent living, and mental health services, and the current community conditions, the Commission has recommended the city contract for 13 program services provided by 9 organizations, totaling $377,982 in city funding. Regarding existing purchase of service agreements, addressing the issue of basic needs and emergency services in children, youth, and families, the Commission has recommended the city renew agreements for 27 program services. These program recommendations reflect the components of the funding process I have outlined this evening. The proposals are designed to elicit information which can be compared to the data from the analysis reports. For example, if an issue or sub-issue disproportionately affects a certain population, the Commission carefully considers whether the proposed program service targets that population. Also, as an example of the Commission's dedication to the use of objective information in an environment of ever-changing community dynamics, while all three issues currently being addressed were negatively impacted by the changes at the United Way. The Commission is recommending increased allocations for mental health and economic opportunity services, as the analyses indicate that outcomes for Boone County seniors are relatively good. Clearly, the amount of funding available is not enough to fully address issues of economic opportunity, independent living, and mental health in our community. Requests for funding again exceeded the available resources. However, the Commission feels that these funding recommendations propose the best utilization of limited funds in addressing the most critical issues. On behalf of the Commission, I would like to thank the City Council for its long-standing investment in our community's social infrastructure. Thank you.
So this, of course, is followed up by items on the consent agenda later tonight. I think everyone's aware of that. So thank you all.
And I would just like to thank you also, because I know you very carefully go through all of this, and it is an extended process and important, and you carefully weigh it. So I thank the whole commission for their work.
I agree. I mean, you go through a very sophisticated process. There's not enough resources to meet all the needs, and so I appreciate the analysis and time and effort you put into to this to do as best we can. So thank you very much.
Great, thank you.
The next item tonight is a GIS update. Probably the first update. I'll embarrass Matt Gehrke here as he comes up. Has achieved a PhD, so we refer to him as Dr. Gehrke now. So I'll welcome Dr. Gehrke to the stage here and turn it over. Tony?
I'm not a doctor. Earlier this year, you will remember seeing an update of City View, and hopefully this presentation tonight will bring back what you actually saw on that one night. But you remember that the City View application is a web-based application, public-facing, that the public can use to view parcel-based information about everything from ward information to utility pickup data to utility provider and a host of other geographical-based data. So this evening's presentation will provide you with an update on the changes and some additions to City View, as well as a brief discussion on a project that the city has been working with the Columbia Housing Authority and others designed to help identify properties with high utility bills that are out of the norm with other similar properties, so that renters, for example, could easily find out information about electric and water utility data before they actually made the decision to rent a particular property. So to get things started, I've asked the city's, as Matt said, Mike said, the city's newest PhD, Dr. Matt Gehrke, our city services manager, to give you a brief overview of City View. And as you take a look at that, it'll tie into what Phil Steinhaus is going to talk about for a few minutes, as I said, the city utility data. We have a lot of data available in the city. We can make it public. It is public data. The question I think we're asking is, should we make it public? For example, as you look at this City View application tonight, and you'll see it is parcel-based, we can very easily show the utility, electric, and water data for that particular property by month. This is public information. The question is, should we make it that easily accessible? I think most people, I think the city staff perspective is that we should. There may be some people that might have a problem with showing 2 or 3 years' worth of data, actual data, on a monthly basis for their particular property. There are other ways to display that data. We could certainly average the data. And on obviously some of the larger apartment complexes throughout Columbia, that might be a way to do is to show the average for a particular unit. But on individual residences, we can show that utility data on City View.
Can I interject with a question?
Sure,
why is that public?
Because anybody can come into the city right now and request your utility data.
That's interesting. And
yes.
Again, why is that public?
Why is it public information?
Why is it public? What, you know, if I want to know what my next-door neighbor's doing, why is that public?
Because it's not protected.
Huh. I think because it's the city government.
This is
the short answer.
That's absolutely right.
If we were a for-profit third party, I believe we wouldn't be bound by that. But
mm-hmm.
Because we are the city government,
so
have to really reveal it.
Could also be something that you just put on so the only the owner or renter sees. On the other hand, an advantage is to look at what your neighbors are expending and saying, oh, I'm using twice as much electricity. Something might be wrong on my end. Yeah.
Given that it's public, I don't see why not, but you're not asking for comments. I just
we will at some point. I'd like you to take a look at the update first, and then Phil is going to talk a little bit about this project that we've been working on for many years in terms of actually gathering this data so we can make it available, as I said, to people that want and have need for this data. And so once you see this, we'll have a discussion about whether or not you think it would be appropriate to make this as public as we can make it. Matt?
Thank you. Stepping back just a second from the what we stepped off into, I guess, the GIS office has been working the last couple months especially on going through and trying to upgrade and update our back-end GIS servers. Kind of like any other server, it's a fancy computer that enables other computer users to do different things. But with the GIS mapping software on it, it's a little bit different in terms of how it handles the data and makes that accessible. And so one of the things that we're working on is going through the process of upgrading those and then trying to figure out how to roll out some of those improvements that those upgrades will mean for either city staff working with the software on their desktop or city staff using internal web mapping applications or also the public-facing accessible web mapping applications. And so we've had CityView out for a little over a year, and so we're starting to work on what we think about as CityView 2.0, taking the opportunity to revisit and redesign and try to improve some of the basic functionality that's in there based on staff comment and public comment and familiarity with what's in the map. And so this is on your screen as kind of a preview of what we're working on. The outlay is a little bit different. We still have our five basic base maps over on the left, and then we'll also have the legends and then the results that will pop up for those. We've also been trying to find better solutions for the printing tools, which was a limitation with our current map. And so we found some other coding that we can put in to make it a little bit easier to produce both PDFs or image files based on what is seen on the screen. And then also improving the measurement tools so we could measure either by a line or a polygon and select the different units which might be meaningful for the user. The other area of improvement that we are looking at is what's kind of one of the core features of the existing CityView web map, which is, well, what information can we use to provide or communicate to the public through the results table and through the different information that we can kind of consolidate and group together and make that available to the public. Trying to collapse what might come from 40 different layers and put it into one interactive mapping interface. And so some of the issues that Mr. St. Romain raises are, what other data could we add to the results table, and what are some of the issues that we might have with some of that data? Currently, everything that's populated in here is data that the city terms enterprise data. Which for city staff, it just refers to data that one department is responsible for maintaining, that they agree that it can be shared freely across other departments because we realize that we depend on the data that Parks keeps up for Parks or that Public Works keeps up for the sanitary sewer system or that community development keeps up for annexations. And we realize that we use that data across the city. And so in thinking about other data that the city has that would be of use or would be of interest are some data sets that city staff have recommended or outside groups have recommended that they'd like to see included. One of these would be if there are rental certificates on the parcel or on the property, a way to help identify which parcels across the city or in a neighborhood, if you click on it, has a rental certificate registered with community development. We've also had requests or interest in if a structure on the parcel participates in the Home Performance with Energy Star program that Water and Light has. Water and Light has also been interested in pursuing the Home Energy Score program and potentially using City View as a way, maybe not to publicize that score, but to let the public know that there has been this inspection done and that score is on file with Water and Light Department, and a person could contact Water and Light to find out that information. And so also moving City View from here's all this information to, well, here's some other information that exists. It's probably a little bit more detailed than maybe we can fit in the map, but here let's draw that connection and let's, you know, find ways of using the map as a way to communicate the user with the different appropriate staffs or offices within the city that could provide that information. I think it's under those circumstances that the, let me find it in my notes, the Rental Housing Energy Efficiency Committee that Mr. St. Romain alluded to before, and also neighborhood associations have started contacting us and asking us if, it would be nice to see this in the map. You know, could you fit this in the map? What's the procedure? What's the process for adding some other sorts of these data that the city have into this public-facing web map? Clearly, we already have a lot of data in there, and both the GIS office and the GIS steering committee, which oversees our operation, have felt comfortable including some of those data with some of the other potential data, and if that is utility bill costs or averaged out or the average cost of a electric portion of the utility bill are something that you know, the staff has thought about and discussed, but because of the issues involved, we're a little bit, I wouldn't quite put it that way. We'd feel comfortable if we had the perspective of council in terms of what they would like to see and weighing out the issues that are at hand.
I guess I'll start with a question. So this map here, one thing I'm not seeing is sewer and water lines, electric lines, that sort of thing that is in, I don't know if this is based off of ArcGIS or if there's some other underlying software. Is this still ArcGIS?
Yes, it is.
I don't know if it's a technical issue with making that kind of data available, because if somebody knows my utility bill, they might as well know where my, I mean, the another person, you know, would it actually pay for itself in terms of the number of people who are calling to locate things and that sort of thing?
The we are working on projects that would enable the public, and it's especially in interest of contractors to have an idea of where some of the sanitary sewer and stormwater infrastructure is. It would not be at the quality where you could go out and do a locate on it, but it would
still have
certainly
to call
be,
dig right. But you know, yeah. Give me a rough idea. Give me a rough idea of where is my sewer, that sort of thing. I mean, if we're giving the utility data up for the realtors, which you know I'm beginning to see that's one reason that people might want to know, would it make sense to also just give up some of the location information, still requiring them I guess to call dig rate?
Yeah, and the location information for some of the utilities I think makes sense, and some departments have said it would be all right to show that in a map publicly. Other departments are a little bit more concerned about the security implications of the locations of some of their infrastructure, and we wouldn't.
I see. So that would be that's the trade-off there.
Right. Like for example, the electric utility or the water lines. I don't think necessarily we appropriate to show that. We think that's really protected information that we could use certainly on the staff side, and developers that had interest in that could get that. But this is really what we're talking about in City View is the public-facing side of the website and what they might have an interest in that really wouldn't have much of a security interest at all.
I just sort of hate to sound like a Supreme Court justice, but my neighbor can't know where my sewer line is, but they can look up my utility bill, so I find that interesting.
I would be interested in the list and what staff thinks would be most helpful for the general public, because it sounds like you have a lot of ideas. And just on one you mentioned, the rental certificate, I thought that could be very helpful. So if someone goes to rent an apartment or house, they can look online, you know, see where the utilities are and all the information, as well as see if this unit actually, or house actually, has a rental certificate, so you don't knowingly do something illegal on the rental side either.
Well, the really part of our process tonight was to really come to you to, so we could kind of initiate some sort of process for the future. So as you mentioned, we do have some ideas on the data which we think might be appropriate, and what we'd like to do is to kind of establish a process so we don't have to come to you every time and say, is it okay for us to show electric data or water utility data on a particular project? So what we'll do is in the future, as we get some of this information and have some of these ideas, we'll come to you with a recommendation that you can decide on. But we thought, as with the update to City View tonight and the fact that Phil's going to talk a little bit about the project that's ongoing right now about utility data, we thought it'd be interesting for you to hear how that project has been progressing over the last few years, and it's certainly going to make a lot of use of the electric and utility data. And so if we could just hold off any questions for a minute, I could ask Phil to come up and briefly give an update as to the status of our project with you right now.
Thank you, Tony, and good evening. I'm Phil Steinhaus, the CEO of the Columbia Housing Authority, with offices at 201 Switzer Street. So actually, we've been working on this for a number of years, just discussing in general that utility costs are really the other half of the affordable housing equation. So what a lot of people don't know sometimes is someone in public housing or who has a Section 8 voucher, they actually are still responsible for keeping all their utilities on, paying for them all the time, and if they, for any reason, get their utilities turned off, they could actually lose their housing assistance and either be evicted from public housing or lose their Section 8 voucher, and then their landlord would then evict them because they wouldn't be able to pay their rent. So we're concerned because we often see someone who might be able to pay $50 or $100 as part of their Section 8 certificate or in public housing, but then if their utility bills are $300 or $400, they're not going to make it. They just don't actually do that. So we see these as integrally connected. As you probably know, housing authorities invested a lot over the last 3 years in making energy improvements to our properties. Not only is it a good investment for us, like with Paquin Towers and the geothermal conversion over there, but we put in heat pumps in most of our family sites, done a number of other energy saving improvements to help reduce our the utility costs for our residents. So we'd like to do that for other folks in the program. We really are talking about just sharing the information of people that are renting rental property, so we're not interested in Fred's utility bills whatsoever. So I do know, though, from my previous years with Boone County Tenants Association, and Ms. Hoppe and I worked together on that years ago, that when you're addressing any kind of tenant issues, we were addressing ones with working with students, but the only way really to do it is address it as a whole community. So when there's good information out there about what tenants' rights are, then landlords are less likely to take advantage of people who don't know what their rights are. So if we have good utility available out there to prospective tenants, it allows them to make good choices about their rental property. It's actually available out there now. You can call any of the utility companies, tell them what address you're interested in, and they'll give it to you over the phone. It just makes it kind of hard for people to do. And so we encourage people to do that, but we oftentimes see people who don't make that extra effort to do that. And sometimes getting the information out to students or other folks who might be more willing to make that calls is not always an easy thing to do. So that's kind of what we've been working on, the idea. There's some complicating factors. Of course, you know, somebody's utility use, somebody likes to use, take long hot showers, somebody takes quick showers, it might make the bills look a little different. You have to adjust for changes in temperature, cold winters, hot summers, whatever. And so, you know, averaging out over a 3 year or even a 5 year period is something that we would recommend. We also have ways that if, say, a property owner didn't agree with the type of rating, you know, it would be really kind of provided for information for you to look into it deeper, but we could also work with a property owner to try to do a better analysis, encourage them perhaps to have a utility analysis of their home conducted so we could have better, more accurate information about what the utility cost might actually be. And so, or if somebody had already made improvements and that might change things over the five-year average, ways to adjust for that. So there's been a lot of discussion about how to make it fair. There's a cool website out there called Tools for Tenants. If you want to look at it, it's out of Gainesville, Florida, another college town. It was done by an energy company down there, and so you can actually click on all the different rental properties down there, and it'll tell you high, low, medium type of energy usage, and it'll give you utility data. We kind of envision to do some more, to kind of make it even broader. We do think having this information would encourage people to make energy improvements to their property. Right now, there's no incentive for landlords to do it. If you rent their place, it doesn't save them any money to go make those energy improvements, unless there's some kind of incentive where somebody says, well, I'm not going to rent your place because the utility bills are going to cost me $600 here. I can't afford that. Then somebody might say, well, if it sits vacant for 3 or 4 months, they might say, you know, I think I am going to go ahead and insulate the attic. I am going to do something about those old storm windows or other things like that. So it's an incentive, and then they can also tap into the city's programs to help them with those costs if they want to. So we also envision a website and a mobile application then, because we know a lot of low-income folks are getting their information off a phone rather than necessarily their laptops or that type of connection. But we could provide information then on fair housing, on legal information for property owners and tenants, consumer information, neighborhood watch, crime statistics, tips for reducing crime, for reducing your energy consumption, recycling, green building and maintenance practices, city assistance programs, et cetera. So it could be a portal for kind of all things rental, so to speak, and kind of take us to the next level there. So there are a lot of good ideas cooking out there. The number of city staff from Water and Light, as well as Health and Human Services, have been involved, and then we dragged Matt in here recently to with the GIS stuff. We got students from the University of Missouri, Central Missouri Community Action, a number of other folks that are real interested in Missouri Legal Services. So this would be the first step if the city could put the electricity data out there in particular, as well as the water data. That would be real helpful. Our problem is with Ameren UE, we've worked out a legal agreement with them about a release of information form we could have people sign, and then they'll give that information to us. But what we'd really like to encourage them to do is just dump all their data into a similar system so we could draw down, you know, the data. And this would all then be tied into properties that would have a rental housing certificate. So that's how that information might appear. Questions you might have.
Well, I think it's more than just rental houses. Even homes that are purchased by homeowners, that data is valuable for them in purchasing
a
home.
That's a great point.
So I think it's more than just rental house. It's the same data.
Yeah. That's great. And I know there are other kind of consumer education things you did in Water and Light, applied for some grants that were going to help people monitor their energy in their homes. So those kind of things could be.
I think the protection for tenants is an interesting angle on this whole thing that I hadn't thought of, protection of tenants as well as home buyers. And if the data is already public, why not make it more public? You might be able to answer this question. I was talking to Steve Dickherber, who's the legislative liaison for the Missouri Students Association, and he said one of the problems that students have is if they get thrown out of a rental, they come from out of town, they rent a house. This must happen to a lot of people in town, too. They don't know it's an illegal rental. They get thrown out. They don't get anything. You know,
you mean
I suppose if they wanted to
get their deposit back or something? Or?
Well, I mean, you know, they might be lucky to get their, well, getting deposits back is a problem for students in general, but I'm thinking for all tenants, if they're in a unit that's not a legal rental and they get thrown out, you know, they should be compensated for moving, and they're not. They're basically on their own.
Well, if they're evicted because it's a nil.
Yeah, the city comes in and says, you know, in this way they could check before they sign that
exactly.
It's a legal rental and the utility bills are reasonable. So,
potentially you could then go back and see what types of violations it had previously, if it's got a current certificate of compliance, but it had an older house that had a series of violations or something. I don't know how deep you want to dig into that data. I think it's a good consumer-driven model. That's kind of what I like about it. You're not forcing anybody to do anything, but and it really reduces demand on the city's energy grid as well, which I think is, you know.
Has anybody done any analysis of staff time? I mean, would this not also save money in that if this information's all public anyway and people are calling for it, wouldn't it make sense, since there's already the infrastructure here to provide it, just to provide it? Has anybody done any cost analysis?
I'd lean on Matt about that. He's, you know.
I'm not sure how many requests we get per week or per month about the public inquiring about utility bills. The way that we're looking at right now of doing this, putting this sort of data in CityView and populate, averaging it by parcel for all residential properties, it's something that we probably run. We could run it once a month. We could run it once every 6 months. We could run it once a year, and certainly provide some of that information that that may indeed reduce whatever number of calls.
Not just the public, but thinking about one city department calling another city department to get rental certificate information. Now the taxpayer is paying for two people to talk to each other when it could be in the database.
Right.
I'm just wondering if this would be self-funding to just put all this information out there.
Yeah, and I think from the utility perspective, even though our GIS office may not get a lot of requests for this information, I can tell you that our finance and utility billing get requests all the time. I mean, if you sell a house, you remember you have to sign a little form that authorizes the real estate agent to go down to City Hall and get that utility information. Those are hundreds of those requests come in a month. Now they wouldn't have to do that. That realtor could simply pull up that particular parcel location, see all the electric utility data. It could be graphed by year. So the question is really, do we put it out there as actual data, or do we average it, potentially just show maybe what the three-year average is, the average high, average low, average?
I mean, insofar as you're getting hundreds of requests per month, there must be a demand for this data.
There is a demand for the utility data, certainly. And I think from the bigger perspective, you know, you're finding a lot of cities right now that are building I was going to say data garage or
data
warehouses, for example. You know, we have data, as Matt indicated, on rental certificates. We have business license information. We have restaurant inspection information, health inspection information. If we could put that information in a data warehouse and invite people that are developing mobile applications access to that data, they could build probably at their expense, not the city's expense, a mobile application that people could run, you know, because it's useful information. It is public information. The question is really, do we want to put it out there?
Can you show us what it might look like? Do you have a way?
Do you have that link to the electric utility data? I've got it on my smartphone, but I don't think does this.
Let me ask an associated question to that. I can see getting the data on a house, but how about an apartment complex? So pick Copper Beach. I mean, I don't know how many units are there. Are you assimilating an average for all the units? Surely you don't have data on every unit, do you? Or do you?
It depends on how the meters are set up. And it depends. I mean, if we have unit level data, we could show unit level data for all those units. Counter argument is that, well, if we have a large development that has 300 units of college students, would there be a benefit to averaging those? You know, knowing that some are going to be really cautious with how they use energy, and some probably aren't. We could do it both ways, depending on how each of those different properties are metered and how we're running or billing those utilities to them.
If I were to call up about a commercial site, it would seem to me that there would be a potential for businesses or people who are not up to good to find information out about a particular business and how it's running. I don't know if you've thought about that or if that's even an issue.
That is a concern. At this point, we're just looking at residential properties. also the rate structures for residential versus commercial are a little bit different. And yes, there is that concern for commercial energy usage.
Oh, I just know that what data you have there right now, I've been using, and it's been very helpful. And I think it's cut down on my request to city staff to see the zoning and a variety of things, the topography on various things that are coming before council. So I can see a great ability and usefulness for the public also with this, especially with the utility bills. Great potential.
So what are you asking from us?
Well, do you get a sense that we should put out the actual data? I mean, residences are fairly easy, obviously. You could actually put out the monthly history going back 3 years, 5 years.
I think you should put it out.
You think we should put it out? Although the other thing we could do is we could average it, just like we do, for example, for some of the larger apartment complexes. You could average it per unit.
You can do both?
If it's public and people can call for it, they might as well have it online. It seems to me that we're, you know, because if they see the average, they could still call for the actual data.
I think our choice would be to put out the actual data. We just wanted to make sure that you were in the loop so you didn't start getting large numbers of calls from people.
What is standard procedure around the country with this type of data? Who's doing it?
Some folks put it out. Some don't.
So we're not reaching out into a privacy frontier here that hasn't been challenged.
Public data, I can't imagine what the challenge would be.
But again, this kind of public data is out in other communities, and there's not been any controversy.
There is always controversy when talking about putting data that is public data, but that some folks would view as personal data, even though it is public data out there. There is a bit of a divide, I think, that is borne out in any community that's done it.
I think putting the data out, since it's already public data and some people access it, it evens the playing field if we increase accessibility. I think the actual data versus averages, I mean, the more information that feeds back into loops is going to allow people to make decisions, and they can see, like, oh, I added the 62-inch plasma TV and my power went up. You know, you can look for trends in the real data that you can't see in averages. You know, I know you can save your bills and track it, and there's other ways to get it, but, I mean, I think with apps, people will get creative and ways to access it and stuff. I mean, some of it is, I mean, as we move forward and more information is available to us, all of us are going to have less privacy. No, I'm terribly curious what Fred's utility usage is, and I may be calling tomorrow to find out.
We will put together a demo and be sure to come back to council with Fred's address and show you what it looks like at the next earliest occasion we can. But for now, we will proceed with developing this part of the application. So
this billing is basically the last bill, right? There's nothing contemporaneous about it.
No, it's the actual bill.
So I can't watch my neighbor's meter to see
no.
if it's
well, I mean, if somebody's not using electricity, somebody could use it to say nobody's home and let's break into their house.
Actual build data.
All right.
Well, in terms of bringing that back, would you like us to bring that back as a work session? Would you like us to bring that back as a report to council on the agenda? How would you like to see?
Bring it back as a work session in case we need to tweak it some more. Let's bring it back and let us see what it looks like.
Show and tell then.
Make sure it's not too intrusive. And we may want to make it more detailed.
Has any thought been given to merging the county assessment data into this?
Isn't it already in here?
Not in here.
The basis of this map is the parcel data. And due to our different data sharing agreements with the county, we do have access to their parcel data and some of their other data. They also have their own website that does all the assessing and appraisals. And we've tried to walk a straight line in terms of what data is theirs to show, because it's maintained and developed by their government and their departments, and what can we use of that based on our agreements to show other data that is probably more tailored to the city.
I thought that you guys shared some infrastructure costs with the county in terms of the parcel viewer. Maybe I'm wrong about that. So that's a completely separately maintained system?
That is a completely separate maintained system.
I was not aware of that. You share the bill on the flyover for the aerial view, is that correct? That may be.
We do participate in that financially.
That may be what I'm thinking of, but it's actually separate databases. So, okay.
I guess my question is, I can get on the county website and go to the assessor's site and get all that data. I have a password
anyway.
And get on there. But could I also get it here? It'd be a lot easier just to have it right here.
That's probably something that we'd have to sit down and work with the county on.
I mean, it'd be nice. You can look on this page right there. You see the assessor parcel number right there and address. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to get the assessment, it'd be nice to just click on that and maybe even just be directed over to the county's website and have it pull up the parcel with that.
Have a way to come back?
Sure. I mean, that's something we can certainly talk to the county about.
Yep.
I was very impressed that it's updated by the assessor's office or through the assessor's office every day, so you get the most current information, at least about who owns the property.
Very impressive, by the way.
Thank you.
Well, very good. Without any other questions, that's all we have tonight.
Okay, well, let's take a little break, and we'll start promptly at 7 o'clock.